God is my refuge and my strength, a present help in time of need. He is my fortress, my deliverer, my father, my friend indeed. My father, my friend indeed.
Good morning, you beloved community. Good to see you today. Thank you for your presence here this morning. I am missing my slide clicker, so if it is sitting around you somewhere, you can hand that to me if you want. Otherwise, Xander, thanks for a pinch hitting today up in the sound booth. We're glad for that. But if you see that, you can just hand that to me. That would be great. Well, we have several guests among us today, and we're so grateful for your presence. If you, I hope that you feel warmly welcomed here at this congregation this morning. And lots of you are already joining us on Facebook Live, and thanks for your participation in the life of the church that way too. A little bit later in our service, we will, as we are accustomed to doing, share in communion together. The bread and the cup has already been prepared for us. So if you're watching online, now's a great time to grab some of those supplies so that you can share in that with us as well. Well, we got all sorts of things happening today. A lot of stuff to be excited about, looking forward to it. Andrea, welcome back. We're glad that you're leading singing today. We have some folks reading scripture, sermon, and some other things too. So whatever it is you're bringing today to worship, just bring it all, and we're going to leave it at the feet of Jesus today. Bring it all. All right, I'm going to light our Christ candle, which reminds us that Christ is indeed among us, and the light of Christ lives in you. And now would you stand, please, for the call to worship. Xander, we have three slides right here. Here's the call to worship today from Psalm 30, starting in verse 1. Let's remain standing for the two songs and then the words of Jesus to follow. I will praise you, Lord, for you saved me from the grave and kept my enemies from celebrating my death. I pray to you, Lord God, and you healed me, saving me from death and the grave. Your faithful people, Lord, will praise you with songs and honor your holy name. Your anger lasts a little while, but your kindness lasts for a lifetime. At night, we may cry, but when the morning comes, we will celebrate. Let's sing together.
I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted.
I will call upon the Lord,
who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. I know the Lord will find a way for me. I know the Lord will find a way.
word to all the world. The Lord has said, go preach the word to all the world. If I walk in heaven's light, shun the wrong and do the right, I know the if I walk in heaven's light, shun the wrong and do the right, won't it be grand to hear him say, well done.
Here is Jesus' pronouncement from Luke chapter 4, which we are as a congregation declaring out loud throughout our duration of our Luke series, which stretches from a few weeks ago when we preached on this until November when this series will conclude. So if you will join me, please, in Jesus' pronouncement. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Amen. Let's be seated, please.
And let's see.
There is a thank you, O my Father,
A reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verses 27 through 36. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because God is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful.
Thank you, Jeff. You see up on the screens, it's time for our Roots kids to head to the back table. If you'd like to be a part of that, you certainly can. Miss Brandy is already back there, and we're so glad that you're here this morning. Let's pray together, please. Oh God, you are our God. Earnestly we seek you. Would you pour forth through me now the gift of preaching? Give us eyes to see and ears to hear. For it's through Christ we pray and do all things. Amen. I want to share a couple of pictures with you. This first one that's going up on the screen now is from a birthday party, the surprise birthday party that we had for our dear Nellie Chang just a couple of days ago, celebrating her, and several folks gathered up here to do that, and it was a great joy to be a part of. Nellie and Paul, thank you for helping to put that together. Nellie tried her best to blow out the candles with that plastic plate. It took a while, but we got it done. We got it done, and we got to share that cake, and that was a lot of fun to celebrate her that day. So to those of you who were able to come to that, thank you. This next slide is from yesterday morning around 10:30 a.m. This is Chris Gay, which is Stanley Gay's son. He has, for a while now, been wanting to be baptized. He and Jesse have had many conversations about those things. And so yesterday morning at 10:30, it was myself and Chris and Jesse Gay and a whole cloud of witnesses that we could not see that got to share in the joy of baptism yesterday morning. And so what a grace, what a gift that was. And Jesse, thank you for being such a good part and example in his life. And we remember Stanley as well, who's longing for this day too. So that was really good. Two really good things this week, with more to come. Well, it is good to be with you all this morning. Next Sunday, though, I will be out of town. Chelsea Core and I will spend several days with my mom and dad, and her sister and her husband and her family are coming down from D.C. My mom recently turned 70 years old, which is wild to me. We've been planning for the past 12 months to celebrate this milestone birthday with a family gathering, so we're going to do that. Which means that next Sunday, Steve Sandifer will preach. Always grateful when he does so, the way that he speaks, the way that he cares for you all with his words. In hindsight, though, and with additional planning on my part, since I am in charge of scheduling after all, I could have given him today's text to preach next week, letting him struggle through one of the more difficult teachings in our scripture. Either that, or I could have just skipped right on over it all, since I am in charge of scheduling and all. No one is forcing me to preach these verses. Nor do I think is anyone here asking, you know, we could all use a bit more anxiety in our lives. How about a nice sermon on loving our enemies? I'm certainly not saying that, but then again, Jesus is not asking me to say it. He's asking me to hear it. Next slide. But I say to you who are listening, he opens in verse 27. Jesus has just given his opening preamble for his sermon on the level ground, the blessings and the woes, what we talked about last Sunday. Blessed are you who are poor, hungry, tearful, hated, excluded, reviled, and shamed. Woe to you who have it made, have full kitchens, who snicker at the expense of others, who collect pawns that will only speak glowingly of you. Next slide. To you who heard all of that, to you who are ready for the truth, now hear this. Love your enemies. In fact, treat well those who hate you. Bless the cursers. Pray for the mistreaters. When they slap you, turn your head the other way and offer that side too. When someone steals your shirt in broad daylight, gift wrap your coat. Hand it on over. If someone takes advantage of your generosity, don't then start being stingy. Here at the beginning of my sermon, rather than waiting for later, I want to say that Jesus is not encouraging a defeatist, passive reaction to cruelty and evil. He is not justifying violence. He is not saying that turning the other cheek means that punishment is warranted, like it's the victim's fault while their stuff is being stolen. This text is not promoting the perpetuation of harm by someone else against you. None of Jesus' teachings mean that in order to be faithful to God, you must remain in poisonous relationships or situations where you are being emotionally, physically, or psychologically mistreated. That is abuse. That is not forgiveness. And if you and I need to have that kind of conversation, I can point you to some folks who can help. With that said, I do wonder what Jesus' face looks like when he says these things. If he has a lighthearted twinkle in his eye, a wry smile on his lips, a solemn seriousness overtaking his whole complexion. I also wonder how his hearers hear his words, ridiculous words. I'm going to guess that many of them laughed out loud, so absurd is Jesus being, rolling their eyes while their dearly departed ancestors rolled in their graves. This is an occupied people. Jesus is speaking to them. He's speaking to them in an occupied homeland by a foreign empire occupying them. No doubt they've been mistreated. Yes, they have been thumped in the face. Certainly they've had their clothes and their dignity stolen from them. So why in the world would Jesus say to them, indeed, command with an unmistakable imperative to them, to bless, to pray, to turn, and willingly give to anyone like that? Why would they ever do that? And why would we? Later in Luke's gospel, Jesus will be asked by a theological scholar, who is my neighbor? Here we are led to ask ourselves, who is my enemy? Which, depending on your point of view, might be an easier question to answer. For myself, it's interesting preaching about enemies, especially since I have routinely made it my particular aim not to gain any. My typical MO from childhood had always been to keep my head down and to keep my mouth quiet. No need to stir up trouble, no need for undue attention. I don't know if that's a middle child thing or a learned habit, but it has served me well for the most part, save for a couple of wrong place, wrong time playground bullying experiences, including one where a larger kid threw rocks at us and one hit me about an inch above my right eye. In high school, I was the butt end of a few mean-spirited teenage pranks, and me being Zacchaeus' height probably had something to do with it, easy target and all. I'm sure I can come up with more unless I have buried them too far down. But for the most part, a face does not float up before me when I think personal enemy. And you can call that privilege if you want, or fortunate, or lucky, or blessed even, and I will not deny it. It does not mean, though, that I do not have enemies. Enemies for me most frequently include persons I do not personally know, but who represent or value or advocate for things that I personally loathe or am steadfastly against. Or enemies as persons who impose their power over the many for the sake of self, war, for example. Or leaders who embody the antithesis of everything Jesus taught. And if someone emotionally scars or physically pains my wife or my daughter, there is not enough holy weight behind the word enemy for what I will feel. The older I've gotten, the more I've read, the more I've seen, the more I've spent time with folks, the more I follow Jesus, the more I have paid attention to other people, at least as much as I have paid attention to myself, the more I understand the universal reality of enemy, both historical and present. While your list might look similar to mine, the truth is that for others, enemy is much more tangible. When they, or you, hear, "Who is my enemy?" a name or a situation slides into place right there before them. The range varies on enemy level, of course, from someone who made or makes their life generally harder than it needs to be, all the way to someone sinning against them and heaven and earth and the God of angel armies stealing things from them that they can never, ever get back. Bosses, neighbors, spouses, siblings who've pilfered life savings from the family trust, doctors who have misdiagnosed, exclusion because of ageism, being forced to carry someone else's supplies a mile down the road, being subjected to water hoses or lynching trees or semi-trucks because of skin color, persons left without an array of options because of gender. Any one of these, or a thousand other minor disappointments, or moderate disheartenings, or major demoralizing acts, kind of makes you long for the tried and true eye-for-eye thing, doesn't it? Where at least there could be an equaling out, which might make you feel a little better at least. But here is Jesus, commanding with unmistakable imperative to bless, to pray, to turn, to willingly give. Ridiculous. Next slide. By the time the golden rule comes around, many of us are ready to move on. But not Jesus. He presses his point to anyone still willing to listen. "Do to others as you would have them do to you," Jesus says. He was not the first person to say such a thing. Versions of it existed long before his Jewish entry into the world, coming from other people and other religions even. But the principle of it, Jesus grasps onto and will not let go of, sermoning it into his being with his life and his words and his cross. If you are brave enough to consider the ways that you have not upheld the golden rule toward others, asking yourself what you want people to do for you, then grabbing the initiative and doing it for them, then maybe you are also brave enough to acknowledge that the golden rule has not always been Christianity's polar star. We've often made the golden rule about ourselves, imposing our will by making others do what we want them to do for us. Or we've kept the golden rule to ourselves, imposing our silence when it's been beneficial or when we have been afraid. But Jesus moves quickly on. Next slide. If the first part is about what other people's harm is doing to us, then part two is about relationships of the other kind. Good relationships, dependable relationships, non-toxic relationships. For some, the antidote to the first half, enemies, is to intentionally choose the safer route. Stick to those who already love you, who already are kind to you, who you can lend a few bucks to, and you know that they are good on their word to pay you back as soon as they can. Who wouldn't want that? Who doesn't already do that? I do, you do, criminals do. But Jesus says, if you love only people who love you, so what? If you treat well only those who treat you well, who cares? If you loan money only to someone you know can return the favor, do you want a prize for that? Next slide. Verse 35. But I tell you, love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting not a single thing in return. So to recap, enemies, cursers, thieves, love, bless, give. Do to others what you want them to do for you, which is not simply a piece of advice. And don't insulate yourselves with people only like yourselves. Godspeed with all of that. What is Jesus getting at here? Next slide. Maybe some of what he is doing is reminding these poor listeners of his that they are indeed blessed beyond measure. The kingdom of God is already theirs, as we learned last week. And no one and no thing can take that away, no matter what it may cost you. Your shirt, your teeth, your self-respect. There is also this. Jesus is fully aware of the hostile world in which he lives. The demands, the cheats, the foxes, the tragedies. He lives it, he knows it, he sees it. Still, Jesus is calling to order a new code of open-handedness, flinging seeds of generosity upon soils where not a single living thing is expected to grow. He rejects the old manner of doing business where hate begets hate, where violence begets violence, and where circles of relationship include people who think and act a lot like you. Jesus doesn't let us diminish our lives by merely hating our enemies and loving our friends. That is not the character of God at all. Instead, Jesus transforms the hearer's actions from compliance or retaliation to resistance and freedom. As beloved children of the Most High, you have the ability and the capacity and the courage to act differently. As beloved children of God, you get to respond in such a way as if the life of Jesus really does make a difference in your own life. As beloved children, you have learned about all of that because you have learned about grace. That God is gracious to the ungrateful and the mischief makers, which may be one of the hardest truths of all. God is unsensibly kind and unfairly gracious to everyone, ourselves included. That's how, through God's given generosities, we can love our enemies, bless the cursers, turn the other cheek, gift wrap or coat, give without expecting, do unto others, resist the temptation to insulate yourself, and love your enemies, which Jesus commands a second time. It is true that most of these seeds will act as a stumbling block, the cross always does, as they land upon deaf ears and blind eyes. Or they'll be gobbled up by ravenous vultures, or will shrivel and die before they even have a chance. Thankfully, though, none of that is up to us. How our resistant freedoms are received or not. It's God's Spirit that awakens the dormant seeds, that stirs the poured water and brings forth any growth and harvest. Chances are that you yourself will have multiple opportunities today to pray for mistreaters, to do unto others, and to expand your circle, just like you had multiple opportunities yesterday, just like you will have multiple opportunities tomorrow. Following the Jesus of God's kingdom means that we can expect endless opportunities to do so, right? Your how-tos may be different than mine, but I and you do not have to do it alone. We have each other, an on-the-way people bent on practicing the presence of God in community. Together, we get to participate and enjoy the expansive and joy-filled generosity of God, which is our great reward. And together, friends, we get to say or type together, amen and amen. Before you stand to sing, I mentioned before that Chris Gay was baptized yesterday. Brittany Easter was baptized last Sunday. Today we have not one but two people who are being baptized. We have our friend Lily Waltman, which we are so grateful for and so proud of you, Lily, for that. So we'll go upstairs in just a minute with Mom and Dad. And also Cynthia Bird is going to be baptized today too. So grateful for both of these. And we're all going to talk more a little bit later in the baptistry up here. And so thankful for this day. What a good day to be a part of this congregation and here today. So that means I'm not going to be down in time to pray or lead at communion. If you are willing to do that and come and speak a word and come and pray, bread and cup, and then if you're willing to come up here and help share that in a few moments, you can be thinking about that, please. and we'll do that. All right, Xander, we are going to How Beautiful, so let's go to that song as Andrea comes and leads us. Let's stand together, please, and Cynthia and Lily and family, let's move to the baptistry, please.
Very appropriate song, How Beautiful.
How beautiful the hands that serve the wine and the bread and the sons of the earth. How beautiful the feet that walked the long dusty roads and the hill to the cross. How beautiful. How beautiful, how beautiful is the body of Christ. How beautiful the radiant bride who waits for her groom with his light.
Sing the song without thinking of my parents. This was their theme song for their gospel quartet, my mom, my dad, my aunt, and my uncle. So that's always in my brain whenever I hear the song.
I heard an old, old story, how my Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me. He plunged cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Lily, from almost the very beginning of this world, God has used water to bring forth life into his creation. And throughout all the old scriptures, water is frequently used as a symbol of salvation, of God's saving of his people. By the time of Jesus, as you know, baptism was being used to express commitment to God and repentance for sins. And as I'm sure you also know, Jesus himself was baptized by his cousin John. Before he left and descended to heaven, Jesus told his followers to go out and baptize other people, and indeed they did. At the birth of the church at Pentecost, 3,000 were baptized, and we've been practicing the ritual and the tradition of baptism ever since. And I'm so thrilled, and I know your mother is too, your grandfathers are here as well, to see you take part in that tradition and connect yourself with all of your brothers and sisters here and all of your brothers and sisters back to the beginning of the age of the church. I have a question to ask you. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God?
Yes.
I know you do, and I know you love God. And on that confession, Lily, I'm going to baptize you now. Mother would like to say something as well.
Thanks. Lily, there's a wisdom saying in Ecclesiastes that says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. And I know that this moment is really beautiful to us. It's just a beautiful time for this church, and there are many angels rejoicing in heaven. I'm so thankful for you, and thankful that God has put this eternity in your heart to love and follow him.
Thank you. Your faith. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Do you have your glasses on?
Oh,
yeah. All right, I'm going to have you come over here on this side. As I said before, this is a great day for our congregation. Lily, we're so proud of you. We're so thankful that you're part of this church family and that we can call you our sister, our friend in Christ. So thank you for that. That was very beautiful. Thanks, Jeff and Lisa. And now for our sister, Cynthia, whom many of you have known for 8 years, somewhere right around there. And we have grown to know and to love her so well. We have so appreciated her wisdom, the way that she challenges us, the way that she calls us to do better, to do more, and leads us in the ways of Jesus. So we have recognized that within her. I meet with Cynthia frequently in the offices over there in our conference room. And you never know what the topics of conversation will be. It will run the whole gamut of every single possible conversation topic there is. But it will always return to about the same thing, which is what the Spirit of God is doing and what the Spirit of God is up to. So something has been stirring in Cynthia for a long time that has now come to a head in this way. And those kind of conversations with Cynthia for me are a great joy. I love those. But I also want to give Cynthia some time to share what is going on, what's stirring in her that leads her to this day.
Thank you, Brother Pastor. I didn't know this water was this deep, and I don't know how to swim. So I might need some help up here. I thank God for Pastor Steve and what he said, because he spoke truth. And I don't know if any of you know, but ever since, and none of you knew me when I was a little girl, I don't think any of you were in my neighborhood, but I've always desired to be baptized in the Jordan River. That has been my heart's desire since I come to know the Lord. And as the years go by, I realize it's not going to happen, and I'm not going to be baptized in the Jordan. And I thank my parents for, grew up as Methodists and sprinkled some water on my head, but that didn't get me to know God. I had to know him for myself. And I knew that the first act of obedience to know God was to be baptized. And I put it off and put it off and put it off. Keep looking in the mailbox for my ticket to Jordan, and it hasn't happened. So I meet Steve Sander for a laugh. I can't believe it. So the next best thing was to take my brother in Christ, who I've learned to trust so much, with everything. And he has to give an account for my Christian worship while I've been under his stewardship. And so I want him to be able to say that she did get baptized, and she confessed Christ in public. Even though I didn't get to the Jordan River, I think Southwest will be a good substitute. Right. So with that being said, I would like to be baptized. The young lady who got baptized last week said she, Galatians 2:29, spoke to her about no longer herself operating, but Christ within her. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, that's good. I think I'll use that. And as I was accepting that for my testimony, God told me, no, that's her testimony, that's not yours. And he gave me Philippians 3:10, mm-hmm. that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. And that's why I publicly want to be baptized today, that I might know him for me. This is very personal for me, and the power of his resurrection. I thank you for giving me this few minutes. I don't want to sound like a politician, but I'm standing on a soapbox for Jesus Christ today. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Jeff alluded to this a few minutes ago, but in Jesus's baptism, when the clouds spread apart and the Spirit of God comes down, Jesus hears that voice directly from God that says, "You are my child, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." And this is your baptismal identity for all the days of your life, for every breath that you will take. This is who you are, not because of me, not because of church, but because of what God's Spirit is doing in you. And so in baptism, you are dying to yourself. You are leaving sin and shame there where it belongs. And because of God's Spirit will raise you back up to new life, of which we, this congregation, are witnesses today, yesterday, and tomorrow too. We are so thankful for that. So like Jeff did for Lily, I want to ask you, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and do you want to follow Jesus with your life?
I have, and I'll continue, but I want to make it public.
Yes, and we see that and affirm that in you. So I'm going to baptize you now in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Before, I'd like to honor my husband for standing with me and being supportive of everything I do. And I thank you, Rob, for what you do for me. God bless you.
Thank you. Okay, you're going to turn. You're just going to bend your knees, and I'm going to do it. Okay, you're going to go backwards. And I will lift you back up, ready? You want to go forward?
No.
Okay, we're going to go backwards.
Okay.
You ready?
You want me?
From whom all blessings
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watch
watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. There is beyond the azure blue a God concealed from human sight. He tinted skies with heavenly hue and framed the worlds with his great might.
Suggested earlier, if someone wants to come up and speak for our Lord's Supper.
Let's pray. Dear Father, seldom has your church been more beautiful than it is today. Father, I thank you for each and every person you have brought to this church, to this gathering this morning. Father, the way that you have worked in their lives, and Father, the potential that each of those lives have if we listen to the teachings of Jesus and aspire to be perfect as God is perfect. Father, I pray for those who are baptized this morning. Father, may they be clothed in the Spirit with such power that they give the rest of their lives in service and in glory to you. Father, I thank you for this meal and what it represents, the symbolism that underlies it, the fact that someone had to pay the price for us to be redeemed and to be made righteous, that we can be before you now. Even as we gather around this table, we are also gathered around your throne in worship. And Father, we seek your presence and your blessing upon us as we share each of these emblems. Father, you're good to us. We love you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
and make me whole. My spirit longs for you, my heart belongs to you. You are my desire, so fill me with your fire. Fill me with your fire.
Start a fire in me. Let the flames run through. Burn away the dross. Holy fire of God. Start a fire in me. Let the flames run through. Burn away. Holy fire of God, let it begin, let it be new, let me be used for your sake, giving glory to your name. I can live knowing that you reside in my heart. Oh Lord, you are a fire. Fire of God, start a fire in me. Let the flames run through. Burn away the dross. Holy fire of God, let it begin, let it be new. Let me be used for your sake, giving glory to your name. I can live knowing that you reside in my heart. Oh Lord, you are a fire. Let it begin, let it be new. Let me be used for your sake, giving glory to your name. I can live knowing that you reside in my heart. Oh Lord, you are a fire, fire of God. This is the season for you, I'm wanting. This is the season for fresh outpouring. That the sons and daughters of the King of Glory may arise and shine. That the sons and daughters of the King of Glory may arise and shine as we declare. This is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day.
We'll pause at this time to take our collection for the ongoing work of this church. A reminder to those on our Facebook Live that you can give online or mail in your contribution. Glenn and I will pass it, or Chuck and Glenn will pass through in just a moment. Let's pray. Father, we are blessed by providence. We have more than we need. And Father, it's from that abundance that we gladly give this morning. Father, bless the continued presence and work of this church in this place. Father, we pray that you give us all means, financial and personnel, to keep the flame alive, the flame alive of Jesus Christ alive in this community. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Ken, do we have some announcements here? Well, of all the nerve, tomorrow, July the 4th, the office will be closed. Enjoy. July is our month for Braze Interfaith Ministries. You'll see a list of things there that they would like for us to bring. I'm sure we'll put the box out in the foyer, and you can come and bring your items for that and place them in the box in the foyer. Bible classes follow this. We're not giving you a lot of time, but classes can connect and maybe get through part of their studies today. Anything else? It's been a great day. Praise the Lord. And glad to see all of you, and I'm glad to be back after 3 weeks away, and look forward to being with you again next week. God bless you and keep you. May the grace of the Lord be upon you.
Thank you for that.